Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Want to learn the secrets of how billionaires budget? We're going to talk about just that today, but I know you'll be surprised by the answer. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where your money makes dollars and cents. Let's get talking. I hope you're ready to talk in the billions today, because today's guest, Manny Skivofilex, has worked directly with a few billionaires. He's going to share with us the secrets and somewhat obvious tips that billionaires use to budget and manage their finances. Trust me when I say you will be shocked to learn how they budget. We're going to chat about how you all need to keep things simple, which I promise, tracking every expense can be simple, and I'll explain how in one of today's money talking points. I hope you're ready to learn how to think and budget like a billionaire. And once you become a billionaire, remember my lowly podcast and please come back on my show, because I'd love to have a chat with you all about how today's episode set you on a path to become a billionaire and earn $1 billion. But the money talking points for today's episode are: how do you keep your budgeting simple, and how do you track your expenses? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Manny Skivofilex, and this is about our third or fourth time trying to record this. We've had some technical difficulties, but here we are. We're going to go on with a great show. Manny, would you mind introducing yourself for everybody?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me, Skylar. My name is Manny Skivofilex. I am a business advisor. I work with business owners of all types, specifically to guide them on maximizing profits and overcoming growth challenges. And I've had my firm for 21 years.
Awesome. And I know what led me on and intrigued my mind is you said you've worked with a couple billionaires before. What is that like? Mm-hmm.
You know, I got lucky, Skylar. I grew up in a poor family. My parents immigrated to America from Greece in World War II. And, you know, my prime directive was I didn't want to be poor. Mm. And I got a chance to work with three billionaire business families in my career. And the main thing that sticks out is my parents, my teachers, and my mentors were doing all these like cost of goods sold calculations and things like that in their heads. And when I went to school, I thought I was going to get out of school and be doing all these, you know, finance calculations. But that wasn't the case. I was wrong. When I met the billionaire families, I found out that they did exactly the same thing as my parents and mentors were doing. They do everything very, very simply, which amazed me.
Yeah. Wow. That'll be awesome to learn from. That's the priority of this episode, is some billionaire tips that people can apply in their lives. So let's just, I guess, kick it right off with, how do people get started if they want, like billionaires in their mind, how do they get started if that's the track they want to be on?
Yeah, this is a great question and a little bit of a difficult one. So in my opinion, a human being has to balance their expectations of happiness and generating wealth. I'm going to give you my experience specifically. I told you I didn't want to be poor. I was willing to work as long and hard as it took, 7 days a week. But that brought a lot of unhappiness, Skylar. Mm. So again, in my opinion, based on my experience, don't put that much pressure on yourself, because it's gonna make you miserable. If you're working to make that car payment every month just because you want to have a really nice car, or you're working to make that mortgage payment, eventually you're going to come to the point of unhappiness. So I found this out after a long time of trial and error. So if you can manage your expectations when you're early on in life, it's going to make this road a whole lot smoother.
Yeah. And I mean, that makes complete sense to me. Like, don't set your expectations too high. How do you think people, I guess, let's say they're in a situation where maybe their expectations are too high right now. Mm-hmm. How can they scale that down a little bit? Because it can be hard to go from that fancy $800 a month car payment that you enjoy the car, but you know, that's not the good balance. How do people like reel it back a little bit?
You know, again, this is a very difficult question. If this is Only the person can answer that for themselves. What do you really want out of this life? What is the most important thing? Because we're all ambitious and we all want to achieve, right? Especially here in America. But you have to have your own soul searching and say, you know, am I happy with the path that I'm, that I have, because you're the one, am I happy with the path that I've placed myself on? And by the way, where does this lead me in the next 12 months, 24 months, 36 months? Look at it short term. Is it getting you where you want to be?
Awesome. That's a fantastic place to start. In a recent episode, I had someone on where we talked about choice versus circumstance. And I think that is kind of what your question is getting to. Did you choose to be in this situation? It's likely that you did, because one of the things I said in that interview was so many people feel like they're beholden to a circumstantial event when really you made the choice 24 months ago, 36 months ago, and that's what landed you in this situation. So I like that looking forward in that amount of time period, because that's when you're going to start to really feel the effects of your choices you make. So that's fantastic. Do we have to think differently about our money if we want to become a billionaire, or is it just same old, same old?
Great question. Short answer is yes. So coming from a poor family, nothing wrong with that. My parents came here to seek security and a better life and provide opportunities for their children. I'm very grateful for that. But we just can't jump from that modest beginning to becoming a billionaire. The percentage is, you know, 50 decimal points to the right. It's very rare, but we've got all this social media that puts the bling in our face every day, and it might make us feel inadequate, like we're not keeping up. You know what I mean? So you have to, first of all, some people are going to get lucky.
Yeah.
Some people are extremely intelligent. They're going to address a global market with a piece of software. Let's just take Snapchat. Okay. And it's something that people are going to want to use, and they're going to become a billionaire in their 20s. Other people are going to toil for a lifetime and they're never going to become a billionaire. The object of the game, in my opinion, is to have that balance where you have to balance your need to have fun and spend money, you know, with saving a couple dollars. So that's the thought process that needs to change. Instead of using, you know, you want to eventually get to the point, this is not easy, but you eventually get to the point where your money is working for you.
Yes. Yep.
Right. But there's stages in order to get there. You got to get your education first, which might entail you taking on debt, student loans and stuff like that. But eventually you'll get to the point, you can get there where your money starts working for you.
Yeah. And I think that's honestly one of the most exciting things for me is I hear people on other podcasts talking about like that threshold where your money is moving in larger amounts than you make in a day or a week or a month and things like that. And that's kind of like those exciting points where all your hard work is beginning to pay off. So that's awesome, because once you get to that point, that's when things work like a rocket ship. You're like, how is my money moving so much? And it's because of compound interest and things like that. So it sounds like that's a good threshold to get to if you really do want to strive to become a billionaire, which is a huge number, because anyone can become a millionaire is what I say. Like, it's totally possible to reach that point. But a billionaire is 1,000 millions. Like, that's a lot of money. So how do you budget that much money? How do people who have that much money budget? How do billionaires work their finances?
You know, again, what I learned based on my experience and what my teachers and mentors taught me, the same way they budget, the same way we do. Mm. They've just got more zeros in the budget, right? The numbers are bigger. So for example, they use a simple budget, but they put all their expenses in there. That's the difference. As human beings, we're like, let me do this budget and it's close enough. But you've like not included all your expenses because it's painful. And maybe you don't want to face reality. But what they do is they include, you know, I'm going to spend whatever, $100 for a haircut. I'm going to spend $50 at Starbucks this week. You know, they put all their expenses in the budget. It's very simple. The numbers are just bigger, Skylar.
That honestly, I bet there's someone listening that's like, oh man, I thought there was going to be a secret when you said that. Like, that's what, when you started off.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought when I first started. I thought there was this like huge secret.
You know? There's not. When you started off in this interview and you said, I found the billionaires keep it the same. They keep it simple. I was like, oh man, yeah. we're not gonna have some happy listeners looking for that secret. But honestly, if anything, it kind of continues to push people in the direction of doing budgeting right. Like you said, we tend to so often hide expenses. Oh, I don't want to put that in there because that was a lot. And then it just devolves your budgeting practice into nothing because then you just don't want to do it. But if you keep it simple, you put everything in there, you're going to have a whole lot easier time actually budgeting the money that you're earning, making, budgeting it to work for you. So I really, I love that. And which leads us into the next question is, do we need to track every expense and category? And it sounds like the answer is yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And let me give you some secrets so we can make your listeners happy. The secret is, so you know, I get these opportunities to ask questions now to people that have money. My first question is, why are you working so hard? You have all this money. Because I thought that they were lighting their cigars with $100 bills and jet setting. I'm serious. That's what I thought it was, right? Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Well, what I found was that they're working like 60, 70 hours a week. They're flying 200,000 miles a year on Delta Airlines. They've got, operations that it's physically impossible to visit each location. That really blew my mind right there, right? Because I'm coming from the restaurant business. That's where I grew up, where we had one location. So the secret here is they don't like to lose. They want to win. They have a drive to win. And they're not afraid to persevere, to keep going. But if they make a mistake, they don't torment themselves about it. That's what I found. They're like, oh, woe is me. They will stop whatever that money losing activity turned out to be, quickly lick their wounds and quote unquote, get back up on that horse and get going. That's in my opinion, their secret.
That's really interesting to learn. So yeah, they push through hard times. They keep it simple on the front end is what it sounds like, but they work like crazy on the back end. They're traveling everywhere to make sure things are running right. That's really intriguing to learn because I'm thinking someone's listening saying, oh, I found myself in some credit card debt. That was maybe their not making money mistake because maybe they tried to credit card hack. But in the billionaire mindset, they're saying, oh, that sucks. Figure it out, get past it and keep going. And find the next thing to work towards. That's some great advice there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. It's something that I was taught. It fascinated me, Skylar.
Yeah. And one, I don't know if I want to work that hard. So maybe like you said, I need to set my expectations with happiness and money and things like that, because I'll probably never be a billionaire because that'd be crazy. Like you said, it takes an element of luck.
Yeah, it does. And you got to be happy. You got to have your health, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to have all those things in a good mix in order to live a happy life.
That's very well said. Nicely said.
Awesome. Well, wealth can get complex. How do people set themselves up now so that they have more money to be comfortable and maybe keep it simple? Because as money grows, that's when the complexity comes with investing and all that sort of stuff. How do people keep it simple now?
It's a great question, Skylar. I'm answering this question with the benefit of hindsight. Okay. This is what I've experienced because I started off certainly on the wrong foot. I had a boatload of credit card debt and some student loan debt. And now it's like, I wasn't thinking it through and I'm not trying to be a wise guy. For example, rule number one, if you're a young person, don't go to a school and rack up $300,000 in student loan debt. If the major that you're pursuing and the job that you're going to get is only going to pay you $75,000 a year.
Yes.
Okay. That right there is extremely important to your mental and financial health.
Yeah. It'll be impossible to get out of that if you're only making $75,000 a year.
So the other piece that goes hand in hand, in my opinion, is find your passion. I know it's an old saying, but let me tell you, it just keeps repeating itself. Find your passion and you'll never work a day in your life. If you truly love what you do and you use that good mix, as you referred to it, Skylar, that's it. And then, so you had something that failed. Okay. It might take you 3 or 4 years to pay back some of the debt that you had or the credit cards or whatever. You know, it sounds like, an insurmountable task, but it's not a big deal. You just got to stay focused, work, pay that debt off, save a couple more dollars, get to the next episode. But what's really awesome here is we have the power of the internet, where you can get right back on your feet with all of these online products and things like that. Mm-hmm. That has changed the game as opposed to the way it was, you know, a generation ago.
Yeah, the internet makes it completely different. That's why we're sitting here talking about this, because this wouldn't have been right? possible a while ago. So that was some good advice. I like the don't rack up hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt for a job that won't even get close to that, because that's when you're going to find yourself owing more than you started because of interest and the way student loans work. So make sure you're setting yourself up for success on the front end so that you don't have to climb out of those hurdles on the back end. So I like that.
That's well
said. Like that advice. If people feel like they're on stable financial footing, so let's say they're doing all right. They're like, hey, we know how to budget. We're doing pretty good. Our net worth is growing only slightly. If they're on that financial footing, what steps can people take to get to that next level, to kind of move it towards my money's working for me? How do they get there?
So eventually it becomes like addictive, where you might have lived a financial life, you know, that wasn't really conducive to getting you anywhere good. But then all of a sudden you change, and you might have went through a few years of doing it right, and then it really gets kind of addictive. Mm-hmm. You want to do better. So you don't want to take like outsized risks. You've got to take risk. That's very important. There's no such thing as no risk. But don't go and stick all your money into, now that you've got money, don't go stick it into, you know, your friend's brilliant idea, for example. Yeah. Yeah. Even though you can't miss. You gotta like do your best to keep your emotion out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm very emotional. I get fired up. I'm enthusiastic. Don't let it blind you. Stay on your path. So the only thing that's happening is, you mentioned compounding, your money starts compounding. And once you see that happening, it really fires you up. So if you're happy with what you're doing, stay with what you're doing. If you want to do a little more, maybe you try another, you know, kick off something, another side hustle in addition to what you're doing. There's other ways. You know, the main thing is don't let it interfere with your happiness. That's the main thing.
Yeah. I like the don't let it interfere with your happiness. What do you think? Let's say someone does want to start something up. I tend to say start small, maybe add a little piece at a time. What do you think about that? How should people, if they do want to start something new?
I think that's excellent advice and very well said, Skylar. Start small. You know, I used to be overly ambitious. Okay. Now I think I'm just ambitious. I finally got it under control. Start small. Don't bite off more than you can chew. And if we're talking business wise, you know, don't rush into something that you don't have the money for. Don't say, well, I'm going to go get a loan from a bank. Well, I'm going to charge it on these credit cards. Make sure you know what you're doing and what you're risking, because you do have to pay that back.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, start small.
Yeah, there's some great advice. You can start for free. I recently got a grant from a local college's microfund that has helped me like get some equipment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun to do, and I learned a lot. But there's things like that where you can work with local small business organizations to learn how to do it. And when you start small and don't go in like guns blazing with a $2,000 or $20,000 credit cards trying to spend everything, that's when you get yourself in trouble and you have to lick those wounds and move on. But if you start small, it's a whole lot easier to control.
That's excellent advice, Skylar.
Can anyone become a millionaire, Manny? What do you think about becoming a millionaire?
It depends. Some people, so here, let's say, so I'm Greek. Okay. My parents were born in Greece. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different situation in Greece, where I would tell you it's probably going to be extremely difficult if you're a young person, Greek citizen, to become a millionaire in Greece. They don't have the level of opportunities. They don't have all these things. They don't have that grant that you told me about that's helping you, right? However, if you're in America, I believe the opportunities and the infrastructure are here, and you gotta put some work into it. So long answer to your short question, I think, yes, you can become a millionaire. You know?
Yeah, the opportunities are here. I love that you said that. I mean, it is unfortunate, I guess, that that's not available anywhere in the world. But if it is here, take advantage of it. Take advantage of the way that you can try new things all the time. You can change your career at any point. You're not just trading and bartering to survive. You're trading time for wealth opportunities. So there's a lot of those available.
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting the nail right on the head, Skylar. Perfect. Very well said.
We've talked about some secret tips and tricks already, and maybe how some secret tips and tricks don't exist. But is there maybe some tricks that you feel people underestimate when it comes to managing their money? And we can even rediscuss one of the things you brought up so far. What's something that people don't put enough emphasis on in their finances?
Spending. The true... So you know exactly how much money you're going to bring in, right? Let's say that you're working in a firm and you're saving your money, and you know you're in the early stages, you're out of school, so you're in a different stage. So you know exactly how much money's coming in every month, but you don't know exactly how much the expenses are going to be. And that's something, in my experience, I found that we tend to underestimate. So I got all these lessons that were taught to me. Let me share one. It's not how much money you make. It's how much money you keep. Mm-hmm. And that was told to me by a very wealthy plastic surgeon who started from zero and became like one of the top plastic surgeons in the world. Mm. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Because I always thought if you can make $1 million a year and pay, you're going to be doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His point was, yeah, you got $1 million coming in, but you're spending $1.1 million.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know, blown away by that. So it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. So do your best to try to, you know, if you're making 50,000, let's just say after tax, try to live under the 50. Mm-hmm. That's going to help you.
Yeah. And if you're living on 102% budget, then no matter what your income is, you're probably going to stick to that 102% budget, because, and that's going to drive you into the hole because you don't have more, you don't have any left you're keeping. I like that piece of advice.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we're coming to the end here, Manny. So thanks so much for all the secrets, tips, and tricks, and maybe some not so secret ideas that people are going to leave saying, oh man, now I got a budget if I want to become a billionaire. So
you do.
Thanks so much for all the advice. There's a couple questions here as we wrap up. The last one is going to be, what's one thing you wish you knew sooner about money? But I'll let you think about that one for a second. If you'll please tell us, where can people find you online or learn more about you?
Yeah, thank you. My website is portalcfo.com. And I also wrote a book, Ultimate Profit Management, to share all these experiences that I've gone through. And that's available on Amazon. So it's a helpful guide if you're trying to, you know, grow your business profitably.
What is one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money that you would tell your younger self?
Oh, this is like the cherry on the top. Hard to make money and easy to spend it, Skylar. So really think twice, you know. So that's the biggest thing. I always thought that, oh, you know, I'm going to buy this stock and it's going to go up 10X and I don't worry about it. You know what I mean? I'm going to buy this dude. No, it's not work. It did not work that way.
So. Awesome. That's a mic drop moment to leave it on. It's hard to make money, but it is easy to spend it. Manny, thank you so much for joining me, working through all our technical difficulties. This has been a fun conversation.
Thank you, Skylar. I enjoyed being with you.
Thank you so much to Manny for coming on today's episode. How is this going to impact you, and maybe what's a little bit more that we're going to talk about? Well, I hope you're able to take away the impact of having balanced expectations with money, work, and happiness, because that can be extremely important. You can also expect a mindset shift to think a little bit more like a billionaire. Think a little bit more simply, but also have that passion and drive like billionaires have. You're also going to walk away from today's episode with some practical budgeting tips, learn how to get to the next level, which Manny and I talked about in our interview. And we're going to talk about, of course, the importance of tracking your expenses. But I want to get into the money talking points, which, remember, these are talking points that you can take to your friends and have a money talk with them. So take these next two questions we're going to discuss and go have a money talk with a friend. The first money talking point is, how do you keep your budgeting simple? Well, for me and my wife, we've been doing it the same way for really 4 years with only slight adjustments. And I think that's a way to keep it simple. Another way that I think you can keep it simple is, don't try to overcomplicate things. Yes, the $0 or the zero-based budget does require you to balance and budget every single dollar, but that doesn't have to be that complicated. You can do it in whole numbers, and then when you get to the end, just kind of throw that in where you need a little bit of an extra buffer. You don't have to literally budget down to the exact penny per se, but you do have to make sure that money gets finished up and allocated properly to somewhere where it's going to be helpful. So keep your budgeting simple by not overcomplicating it with weird strategies of, oh, well, we're going to budget this month with this paycheck, this much with this pay. Just keep it simple. If you're feeling complex or overwhelmed by your budget, that's a sign that you need to tone it back a little bit and keep it simpler. The second money talking point is, how do you track all of your expenses? And this is one that I said we were going to talk a little bit more about, because this is one that when Manny mentioned, I was like, wow, that's overwhelming. I can't imagine spending $1 billion and tracking all of that. One, billionaires probably aren't spending $1 billion because that's all of their money, right? But how do you actually track all your expenses? There's plenty of apps out there for it. There's apps like Empower, which I know is completely free. There's apps like Quicken, if you really want to go old school, I guess, but it does work well. There's apps like Monarch Money as well, which these are all great apps that you can connect your accounts and it'll track it for you. Or you can use a simple spreadsheet. But once you do start getting into a lot of expenses, maybe a spreadsheet can be a bit overwhelming, and it doesn't go back to that keeping your budgeting simple. Unless you just really love spreadsheets like me, then you're all for putting things in spreadsheets and doing all that fancy math with your spreadsheet automatically, which is just fun for me. But make sure you're keeping it simple, and there are plenty of free apps out there to track your expenses. If you have any questions about something to track your expenses with or a specific situation you're in, shoot me an email. I'd be happy to chat with you about a way that you can track your expenses and do it simply to help you budget better. But I want to talk about how we can keep it simple, just like billionaires, next. So what is the billionaire's budgeting approach? Well, it's fundamentally the same, just with more zeros at the end. You've got to make sure you're including all your expenses so that you have realistic financial planning. But make sure, like we talked about so many times already so far, and we're just barely getting into the episode, keep it simple. We have to make sure to keep our budgeting simple, or else it's just going to get overwhelming and not fun. Imagine you're budgeting for your next yacht as a billionaire, and you don't keep it simple because you're maybe throwing things on last minute. You're shopping like crazy, so your budget's getting thrown all out of whack. The simplicity in our budgeting also comes in our spending, which we're going to talk about more at the end here about managing our expenses and how that's so important. But you still have to keep your budgeting simple. You have to make sure all your expenses are included so you're looking at a realistic budget. Key takeaways for me were that complexity does not equal better financial management. Honestly, I think complexity equals worse financial management because it just becomes harder and harder to deal with. Simplicity aids clarity and consistency in our finances. We need to be consistent, like we talked about in previous episodes, being consistent with our investing and starting earlier. Also, that helps so much with simplicity. Set up your investing accounts to be simple and keep it consistent. And there you go. That's how billionaires get ahead. Avoid overcomplicating your financial plans too. And this is something I directly experienced, actually. And everyone knows when crypto was a booming that everyone wanted in and out of it, in and out of different ones, different subtle small bank accounts were offering crypto things and this, that, and the other. And I was a part of Yada Savings, which I think is having a lot of problems now with Evolve having issues, but I don't know that whole story. But Yada offered a crypto product and I was like, yeah, let's get into it. But I was getting into it in such a complex way where I was like, let's do it with this amount of money. But then if we did a little bit more, it gives us more chance for rewards. And Yada just ended up complicating my financial situation more than anything. Whereas it was supposed to simplify it and help you save more money with their investing and lottery type approach to getting your tickets and earning rewards. But it just ended up complicating things. And thankfully, I realized before the crypto went bad is that I just needed to keep it simpler and get out of that. And we eventually ended up getting out of Yada altogether, which saved us some headache, is now people are, I think, still having issues getting access to their money with the issues that Yada is having. So make sure you keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate your financial plans. But what are the real billionaire secrets? Let's talk about that next. So like Manny said, the real secrets of billionaires is a relentless work ethic, not just luck. Push through hard times without being deterred by mistakes, and that includes your little financial mistakes, like I mentioned to Manny. If you do find yourself in credit card debt, understand it's not great, of course, but it's totally possible to get through. Set your relentless work ethic on getting out of that. And that's the billionaire secret. We need to maintain discipline through both saving and investing. And here's the key, spending. Billionaires don't like to lose anything and they're always striving for improvement. But mistakes are seen as learning opportunities, not setbacks. So let's take your credit card debt situation, if that's where you found yourself, and let's consider it as a learning situation. How did you wind up here? Well, one day you started spending a little bit more because you needed a little bit nicer clothes for a work trip you were going on. And you're like, oh, I know I can't pay this, but I'll use next month's paycheck to go ahead and pay it off. But then you didn't realize that you needed some other expense that was kind of an emergency, but you could have planned for it. And now you're buried in credit card debt because you could never get back around to paying off that credit card bill, because you still have to live life even when you're in credit card debt. And where are you spending that money on? Probably still on the credit card. And as long as you're spending on the credit card, it's going to be next to impossible to get out of credit card debt because interest eats up so much of your payment, things like that. So if you're trying to get out of credit card debt, pause the spending on the credit card for right now. Use this as a learning opportunity to say, I cannot spend beyond what I can pay off in 1 month on my credit card, and figure it out and fix it going forward. But that's the real billionaire secret, is their mindset and their drive. So if you want to chase towards that magic $1 billion number, you got to have some relentless work ethic and drive. How do you actually get to the next level if you're living a simple financial life? We're going to talk about that next. So how do you actually get to the next level? Well, you got to evaluate your financial status. Make sure you find balance in work, money, and happiness first, because you don't want to just drive to the next financial level and turns out it actually kind of sucks because you've forgotten about your family, you've forgotten about work maybe, and you're too focused on having fun and you're spending all your money. There is a good balance between the three. But make sure you're taking calculated risks and avoid oversized, crazy financial risks, because that's just going to lead to complexity or heartache and a learning opportunity through a mistake that you're making. So keep it simple, take risk, but don't take giant, crazy risk. Remember that money compounding over time should be a key motivator for you. It should help you drive to invest more money simply as you start to see that money invest. And I keep hearing this magic point where your money moves or makes as much money as you're able to put in it in a single month. And that sounds exciting. I can't wait to get to that point, because knowing our money is able to shift as much as we're able to put into it. Like, I heard a story that someone is putting about $20,000 investing a month, and or maybe not a month, but they were doing it at a rate that their account was also growing at $20,000 over that same span. And they're like, wow, this account just grew more than I can make it grow with my own money. That's a cool point to get to. And that comes by keeping it simple and not overcomplicating it with large outsized risk. The practical advice here to get to the next level is to stick to what makes you happy and successful. Explore small, manageable growth opportunities through simple investing. Maybe there is a slight business venture you can go into, but it's not going to be the massive one where your friend's opening a restaurant and needs $50,000, but they promise they'll 2x it, and they're just speaking all this jargon to try to get you to invest. Take small, manageable growth opportunities, but avoid rushing into large financial commitments, just like that restaurant thing I just mentioned. Avoid those large things like a mortgage, stuff like that, if you're not truly ready. Keep it simple and your life's going to be better off for it. But I do want to begin to wrap up here with our final topic of the importance of tracking our spending. We talked about it in the interview, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit more right here, but it is extremely important to do. So we'll talk about that next. Why is it so important to track our spending? Well, it's critical to know your spending is as important as knowing your income. We have to understand our expenses, or it's going to lead to financial issues, because it's so easy. We have pay stubs. We have taxes. We know exactly how much money is coming into our lives, but we don't know exactly how much is going out. And if a business was ran that way, it wouldn't go anywhere, because you have to know how much you're spending, how much money is going out. It's so beneficial to have control over your finances, to be able to plan better. Helps you identify and cut unnecessary costs like subscriptions and things like that. And it helps you ensure more money is kept rather than spent impulsively or spontaneously, or seemingly it just disappears sometimes, right? Like, the money just seems to disappear if you're not tracking your spending. But that's the importance of it, so you can actually know where the money's going. Maybe we should come up with, instead of income taxes, we should do expense taxes. And really, it's just a way for you to have an annual review of your expenses. I kind of like that idea. I'm going to toy around with that one and I'll report back later if I learn anything going down that avenue. And maybe I'll come up with the expense tax report. But what are the best practices to track your expending? Make sure you're regularly reviewing your expenses and aligning them with your budget. Use tools and apps to help track your spending and set realistic financial goals based on your spending data. Like for me and my wife, right now we're in a season where we're spending more on college and student loans and things like that. And that's allowed us to set realistic goals around we need to pay those off soon before we really start driving to invest while we still are investing plenty of money now. But once we pay those off, we'll be able to invest even more. But our realistic financial goals are able to come around because we're realistic in our expenses because we're tracking them. So make sure you're tracking your expenses. It can be a huge deal and really help you get going on the right path. But that's today's episode. We're going to wrap it all up next. Alrighty, everyone, that's a wrap for today's episode. We covered some serious ground in the billionaire world, and I hope you're leaving with a wallet full of wisdom. Let's quickly recap what we've learned from our billion-dollar discussion today. First off, we discovered that billionaires keep it simple. They budget just like you and me, only with a few extra zeros. Keeping it simple is the secret to getting wealthy. We've delved into the real secrets that Manny shared with us, like hard work, resilience, and maybe a sprinkle of luck and talent, of course, but it turns out they're not just lighting their money on fire for fun to sit back and smoke a cigar like Manny said. They're meticulously tracking every penny and pushing through tough times without breaking a sweat. Next, we talked about leveling up financially. What are the key takeaways? Balance your money, work, and happiness. Don't bite off more than you can chew and let your money compound over time. It's like watching my wife's plants grow. Slow and steady, but they eventually start growing like crazy. So make sure you're putting in just little bits, keep it simple, let your money compound. And also, don't forget the importance of tracking your spending. Knowing where every dollar goes isn't just for control freaks or money nerds. It's a crucial step in keeping your hard-earned cash where it belongs, in your bank account. After all, it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. Finally, remember that building wealth, it's a journey. It might take some real soul searching to figure out what you want to do with your money, make financial plans, things like that. It might also take a few financial mistakes, but it's going to take a whole lot of patience, and that's a guarantee. But the right mindset and a bit of perseverance, you can set yourself up financially for a comfortable future. But thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you so much to Manny Skivofilax for coming on, and especially for being so nice about the technical difficulties that we had. We had a couple of them with the interview, but we worked it out. And the interviews are going smoothly forward, so we're going to keep it going. But make sure you share this episode with a friend, and then go to those money talking points and ask your friends, how do you track every expense? And then you're both going to say, oh, neither of us track expenses. Let's figure out how to. Let me email my podcast host that I was listening to this episode on, and maybe he'll jump on a call with us. Or you can both come on the podcast episode and we can kind of talk through how to track your expenses, because a coaching episode, so to speak, could be a fun one for people to listen to. So if you're interested, reach out and I'd be happy to talk through a money situation with you. But go have a money talk with your friend and become billionaires together. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.